I've actually been quite lucky. It is well outside of capital city, but the growth's been quite good in the area. Just the supply and demand, and unfortunately, some bushfires sort of further affected that. But obviously, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't buy in rural again. Stick to the capital cities, where the population is, where the infrastructure and the jobs are.
You're listening to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard.
Hello, and welcome to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard, where I get to speak to property investors from all around Australia about their investing journey. My name is Robert King, and I'm one of the coaches here at Positive Real Estate, where we help people build wealth through property. Look, with over 8,000 clients across Australia and New Zealand, there are some incredible stories to tell, which hopefully make your investing journey that little bit easier, or maybe even inspire you along the way. So my guest today is Brenton Ward. Now, we discuss all kinds of things, but some of the three points that we covered were the realization that the average middle income family can invest, having an expert team support you to ensure better decisions and outcomes, and the fact that the challenges are always there, but can be overcome with the right guidance. So please sit back, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Robert King, and I am hosting the podcast today with our fabulous guest, Mr. Brenton Ward. Welcome to the podcast, Brenton.
Hi, Robert. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very pleased to be here.
Awesome. Hey, look, it's great to have you here. And I know that you and I have been working together for quite some time through the Positive Group. However, it's the first time we've actually had a conversation like this. So we're going to do the best we can to get through it. But I'm really quite interested in sharing some of your journey as a property investor. So I've got a few questions that I want to ask you, if that's okay with you, Brenton.
Yep, fire away.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, look, let's get straight to it. So look, the first question I'd really want is I want to paint a bit of a picture about who you are. So look, if you don't mind, it would be great if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your background, where you're coming from, so that the other listeners and viewers can get an idea of what sort of individual you are that's taken on this investing journey.
Yeah, no worries. I'm 36 years old, born in Sydney, raised in Sydney, middle income earner. I've got a wife and two kids. Always been interested in finance and wealth and property investing, but didn't really have any or didn't have any education on it before joining you guys.
Okay, all right. So I mean, just pretty much a regular bloke. Would that be fair, Brenton?
Yep, that's how I see myself.
Yeah, much like the rest of us. and it's a good place to start from. So let me ask you then. Prior to joining the Positive Group and working alongside the coaching team and the other professionals inside our group, what was your experience in regards to property before PRE?
I did buy an investment property back in 2009. So I had no real experience, didn't have any education on it. Definitely wanted to get into investing. So I purchased a property in rural New South Wales.
Okay.
I've actually been quite lucky. It is well outside of capital city, but the growth's been quite good in the area. Just the supply and demand, and unfortunately, some bushfires sort of further affected that. But obviously, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't buy in rural again.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's quite interesting. So you think the education and the guidance that at least you've had alongside with Positive has been quite instrumental in changing your overall strategy on wealth creation?
Absolutely, definitely stick to the capital cities where the population is, where the infrastructure and the jobs are.
Okay, cool. Oh, but look, and that's really valuable stuff. I think sometimes as investors, we can get sidetracked by the next shiny thing, whether it be a different sort of strategy, whether we be chasing your higher yields than the normal. I mean, that can lead us as investors down all kinds of rabbit holes. I mean, unfortunately for some, into real challenges. But it seems like your first investment there in rural New South Wales has actually played out quite well for you. So I think you've been lucky there.
Yes.
Look, let me ask you, what was holding you back from investing in real estate before you joined Positive Real Estate? Because I mean, I know your age, you're a grown man like myself. You brought your first investment property in 2009, so that's only 14 years ago. So why weren't you buying properties previous to 2009?
Mainly fear. Okay. Fear, and just didn't have the knowledge or the education. lots of things like, what if the market crashes? What if you can't find a tenant? You know, I also wasn't aware of things like how you can, you know, middle income earners can build a portfolio. I didn't really open my eyes to that. I could purchase more. You know, borrowing power, how to get loans approved. Just everything about it, I suppose.
Yeah, and you touched on something really, really important, something that I learned a long time ago as an investor myself, and something that I've been able to identify and help people with as a coach over many years. And that's this disillusion that the average person in Australia can't be a property investor. A lot of people out there believe that it's outside their reach because of the type of job that they work or the type of family or lifestyle that they're coming from, when the reality is, for investors like you and I who have started from a particular position, it is actually very achievable for many of us, given our average incomes in the beginning and given where we're starting from. That's pretty fair, wouldn't you say?
Definitely, definitely. You know, it hasn't always been easy, and we have had to budget and plan and work hard, but definitely achievable.
Yeah, well, when I think about the starting block that a lot of Australians are coming from, you know, the sort of that average middle income household, what I've noticed is that there can be all kinds of roadblocks or challenges around us. And in many cases, it can even be the people that are closest to us, like our friends and families and such. I'm just wondering, in regards to your investing journey as an individual, what do your friends and family think about this path that you've chosen to take over the years?
Well, I guess prior to me choosing the path, it just wasn't a topic of discussion. No one really had any specific education or knowledge on it, so it wasn't talked about. Now that I'm doing it, some of them are supportive. A lot of them are hesitant, feel like it's risky. Some are interested, and I'm happy to talk to friends and family for those who are interested, but generally, if they don't bring it up, we don't really talk about it.
Yeah, and I can understand that. That's it's very similar to my own personal situation over the years. Of course, I've helped and coached a lot of people within my inner circles, but probably a lot less people than I would like to, certainly because I know it's quite obtainable for a lot of people to build successful portfolios. And in regards to your investing journey, what do you feel has been the biggest lessons? And if it's just one, that's fine. If it's a handful, but you know, really, what are the biggest lessons that you have learned over your journey as a multi-property investor?
I guess the main thing is that there's a number of moving pieces that you have to get right. And that's things like, you know, knowing your borrowing power, selecting the right property, how to apply for finance, how to present your finance application, accounting, good property managers, having cash safety buffers. So it's not one thing. It's sort of like you've got to build everything together, get a good team around you, and yeah.
Yeah, I think and you touched on something important there again. It's really important that a lot of the beginning investors understand that you really do need to have the right team around you if you're going to have a lot of success. And whether that be a singular team like ourselves in the Positive Group, like you and I working with, or whether you build your own team out there, there's a range of expertise that you really need to access as an investor to make sure that you are managing your finances in the right way, obtaining the right sort of finance and structuring that lending in the right way, but also making sure that your property selection is in line with whatever your goals are as an individual as well. Would you think that's a fair thing to say? Also, Brenton?
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. I was looking to invest before I found you guys, and I was feel like a little bit like a blind man walking in the dark. And but then it sort of dawned on me, if you want something done properly, you need to get involved with experts and train people, like just like you would have a major breakdown in your car. You want to get a good qualified mechanic. It's the same. I think it's the same with investing. You want to get in touch with good brokers, good accountants, good coaches, good buyer's agents. So yeah, 100% agree with that.
Yeah, and no doubt there's a lot of good professionals out there that we can call on. One thing that I'm very big on, and you know this as I'm your coach, when it comes to the professionals that we do work with, we want to make sure in most cases that they are also quite successful in the investing space themselves. A good example I use is there's a lot of great accountants out there, and they're very good at managing our annual tax affairs, but they're not so good at property investing, and therefore may not have the vast range of knowledge needed to maximize our opportunities in property investing. And this is why we want to try to bring the team together when we can to not just work on your goals, but to deliver the right outcomes for those goals for you and your family. Let me ask you this. What would you say to anybody out there watching at the moment who is thinking of starting or struggling with growing a property portfolio, but you know, fearful of making the wrong decision when it comes to growing that property portfolio?
Well, yeah, get education and get advice and get a coach, I suppose. Yeah, you just need those experts. It takes away, once you've got the knowledge, it takes away the fear. I think a good example is the property I bought in Brisbane, which you know about. Yes. You know, I learned about things like SQM Research, which is a database that I know you know, a database that records information on properties in Australia, and you can look at things like vacancy rate, rental yields, days on market, so that you know when you do go to purchase a property, you're sort of aware up front, this is what I'm going to get in rent, this is probably how long it's going to be on the market, and then you can use your calculators to work out, you know, positive cash flow or negative cash flow, or what's it going to cost you, or how much it's going to make sort of yearly, so you can manage your cash. Back to the question, get educated, get a coach.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, great. And you touched on some really good things there again. It's when it comes to the property strategy and property selection, I think as investors, we have to be looking at the right data. A lot of investors and a lot of property purchasers out there, they'll listen to the information from their local real estate agent. And as much as they do a great job out there in helping us achieve fantastic property prices when we sell our assets, I'm not sure whether they're looking at the right data that they should be to help us make investing decisions as well. So looking at that information from the right sources and analyzing it the right way to help us really justify our decisions is super important. But I think you touched on something else really super important too, and that's understanding the numbers. Knowing very importantly from the get-go, before you even purchase the investment, you know, how does the property play out, not only in its before-tax cash flows, but in its future after-tax cash flows, to ensure that you have that ability to hold the property over the long term. Let me ask you, I know your story quite well because we've been working together for a while, but what have you learned from that experience in Brisbane and maybe some of the other property acquisitions you've had? Let me ask you, are you comfortable to share what your biggest mistake or lesson is so far?
Probably Melbourne property wasn't a mistake, but just a lot of learning through that process. We signed the contract. We bought off the plan apartment in Melbourne right in the middle of COVID. So I'm sure everybody knows there was a lot of delays in construction. At the time we signed the contract, we checked with the broker and we had we have a service for the finance. Things changed. A lot of delays with construction. And by the time the property came to settle, we had another baby. My wife was on maternity leave. So we had some issues there with finance.
Yes, yep. And, I remember.
Yep, you put me in touch with two extra brokers. So in total, I ended up seeing three brokers. And my wife went back to work, which was obviously we had to change the plan there. So we got that second income, and then we got the loan and got the finance. So that was an issue. At the time we signed the contract, the Melbourne government had a deal, had a reduction on stamp duty.
Yep.
And I didn't use a recommended conveyancer. I found my own, and then the conveyancer submitted the forms and told me I wasn't entitled to the stamp duty reduction. And this was sort of, you know, 3 days out from settlement, and I'd have to come up with the full amount of stamp duty, which we hadn't planned for. I myself was actually on the phone to Victorian Fair Trading, what are they called?
Yep, right, yeah, it was Consumer Affairs.
Yeah, in Victoria. Anyway, I sorted it out, and we were entitled to it, so we didn't have to front the money, but there was a lot of high blood pressure in those few days just trying to sort that out.
Hats off to you, mate. I mean, I remember that process well, and you handled it extremely well. And I think that in that process, it really identifies the fact that as much as we can talk about all the great things that happen in our property investing over the journey of being a long-term multi-property investor, there's always going to be a challenge. There's always going to be a new hurdle or an obstacle that we need to pivot or readjust for to make sure that we can get the outcomes that we desire. I think that a lot of people think that it's super easy, and if they do hit a challenge, then they give up immediately. But you've shown yourself to have, the motivation and the tenacity to keep going through those obstacles, obviously with a bit of guidance to help you get there too. And I think one of the key lessons out of that is, yes, the challenges are going to be there, but additionally, to really trust the advisors that are there to help you overcome these challenges. Did you end up using a recommended conveyancer in the end? Is that what happened, or you found someone else to support you that was better suited?
No, the conveyance I went with had already submitted it. So I just contacted Consumer Affairs and we got that through. But just a lesson for the future, definitely use, especially with you guys, you know, you've got that great network, use someone that comes recommended, definitely.
Yeah, great.
Great result. Yeah, we're in. We've settled and got some tenants, so all good.
Yeah, excellent, Brenton. Look, I think it's a fantastic journey for you and your wife, and I think that there's plenty of years ahead of you of great investing as we work through the strategy continually moving forward. But I'm going to ask you the question that we ask everyone at this point of the podcast, really simply, if you were to go back in time and meet your younger self, what sort of advice or guidance would you tell younger Brenton back in his teenage years to help him begin his investing journey?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same answer you guys always hear, but get some advice and act earlier, invest earlier, educate yourself. And we all know the property market has its ups and downs, but it always goes up. So the sooner you get in, the better. It's all about time in the market, not timing when you purchase it. So
yeah,
that would be my advice.
Beautiful. And great advice. It's something I tell all my clients, yourself included, Brenton, take action. We can sit here, talk and plan, but we really want to think about what are the actions we need to take and who are the people we need around us to help us take those right actions. Mate, it's been really great to have this quick chat, and I can't thank you enough for joining me in this podcast session. I think there's been some really good insights in there that the other investors and maybe people that are thinking about investing will pull from this discussion. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much, mate, and I'll see you again in our next strategy meeting soon.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks for listening to Property Investor Tales. Remember to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode drops. As you can guess, I love hearing people's property investor tales. So if you'd like to share yours, then please get in touch with me via email at propertyinvestortales@positivementor.com.au. We would also love your feedback, and I would appreciate a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Remember, you can watch all of these podcasts over on YouTube at Positive Mentor or at positivementor.com.au. Until then, take care. Happy investing.